verses 18 and 19. Fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. And then our second passage is from 1 Corinthians, chapter 13, verses 11 to 13. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection, as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love.
Thank you, Charlie. 2 weeks in, getting him to do all the work. Hi, everyone. It's really lovely to see you, and it's lovely to look out and see a load of faces that I don't necessarily know, which I hope means that there's lots of people here from lots of different churches, which is fantastic. And I hope that those three silly little film clips have made an impact on you. The point being that isn't it better when we do stuff together and do stuff in unity, not necessarily, our clippers killing poor birds, but I hope that you can sense how great it is when we do stuff together. Just that partnership story that I've already told, and looking around at all of you from different churches, I think it's something to be really celebrated. I want to start with a story tonight, which may or may not be true. So forgive me if it's a big fat fib, and also forgive me if you've heard it before, which you might have done. It's the story of a primary school worker who decided that she wanted to teach her children about diversity, and particularly diversity in worship and in faith. So she asked her children if they were someone of a particular faith group, could they bring into school with them for show and tell something that represented their faith so that they could learn from each other and celebrate each other's differences. So the day for show and tell came, and the first child was a Catholic little boy, and he brought his rosary. And with much passion and feeling, he explained how the rosary was used to help them to pray. And the class were enthralled, and they learnt from what he told them. The second child was a Native American child, and she brought with her a dream catcher. I don't know if any of you ever made those at school. I know my children did. And she brought a dream catcher, and she showed the children how it would be hung over the bed, and as they dreamt in the night, the idea was that the dream catcher would catch all the dreams, but only the good dreams would stay in the memory of the child when they woke up in the morning. The next child came forward with their candle. They were a Jewish child, and they brought the candles that were used to celebrate Hanukkah. And again, everyone was enthralled and interested. Finally, a really tiny, sweet little boy from Reigate came forward, and he said, "I'm an Anglican, so I've brought quiche." Sorry about that, Phil. I don't know what it is about Anglicans. We love a quiche. Anyway, this time of year is full of excitement, isn't it? And lots of emotion. Not only for children who are going to new schools or starting a new year group, but also for parents. Put your hand up if you, like me, have been blubbing because you've just taken your child to university. It's all too much. I'm sending the big one off to start more study after already doing a degree, and the middle one we took to Manchester just yesterday, and haven't really finished the crying yet, but anyway. But what I want to say before I start is that I am so enormously grateful to the youth workers and the clergy and the members of my congregation and family and friends who have been a great influence in the lives of my children, and I'm sure I'm not the only person here that could say that. There have been people who have really invested in my children and have spoken real truths into their life, and I'm so grateful to them for that. And I want to say as well that I know I'm not alone in Sparkfish in saying that I take really, really seriously the privilege of being an influence in the lives of children and young people in this area. It's an enormous privilege, and I think we need to remember that actually it's quite a short space of time that we have to talk to children and young people before they race off at what seems like breakneck speed to suddenly be all grown up in a tiny little room in Manchester. It's too much. Martha, I'm never letting you go. Sparkfish is 5 years old, unbelievably, and over those 5 years, I have witnessed a widening team of staff, and Charlie being the newest member, and hopefully he won't be the last, and youth workers and volunteers from a big variety of church editions coming together. And we, I believe, are united in the belief that it's really good to be involved in the lives of children and young people. It's good to be their champion. It's good to walk with them when things are really difficult. It's good to celebrate successes with them, and it's good to share the good news of Jesus with them. You might know that our Sparkfish strapline says that our hope and our pleasure and our privilege is to try to inspire and encourage young people in faith, hope, and love. And I'm just going to talk about those three things, Anglican quiche, just for a moment. If you're not an Anglican, you won't understand why that's funny. So we are made in the image of God, aren't we? And I've been thinking about that for the last couple of days, just that little sentence, we're made in the image of God. We're made in the image of God. And it's something that we know, but it's amazing if you dwell on that for a moment and think about that, that God longs to be part of our lives, that we're made in his image, that he comes to dwell in us, is amazing. And that there's no special status, that actually every human being is dignified as an image bearer, and that includes the poor and the marginalised, and for us in schools work, the tricky child in an after-school club, and the anxiety-stricken teenager who perhaps can't manage to get through a school day, and who I know Charlie has already been helping some of those children in the last couple of weeks. And it's amazing when we grab hold of that truth, I think, that we are image bearers for Christ in our community. And in our case, talking about Sparkfish, in the lives of children and young people. And we work now in 20 plus schools and colleges across the area. And people are starting to really know who we are and ring us up and ask us to come and do things in their schools. It's just amazing how God has opened doors. And it's such a huge privilege to share the story. God's life-giving story is such a privilege. We've been running for the last couple of years, 2 or 3 years, I think, a 10-week course for year 8 girls. And it's a course which addresses all kinds of issues around self-esteem and self-image and relationships. And soon we are going to be running a 10-week course for young men. And the title of the course is about being a good man. Maybe you don't think that young men today need to think about what it might mean to be a good man. But it's a course which talks of co-equal relationships where respect and consent are central. And for some young men, that is a totally new concept. They might not have a strong male role model in their lives. And this course I'm really, really excited about. And I'm really excited because we now have a man who will be able to deliver that course. And my experience in school tells us that that particular course is really, really needed. We might not always be able to talk about Jesus in school because it might not be appropriate. But if we can encourage a young person, teach a young person, bless a young person with our words and our support, then I think that's our faith being really relevant and working, being an active faith. But it's not just for those of us who have the privilege of working in school, or maybe you think that wouldn't be a privilege, maybe that terrifies you. But it's also, I think, for all of us as a community of Christians. Who do you know? What young person do you know at your church, in your own family, in your road? And how might you be able to encourage them and to allow your faith to shine in their lives? And what about hope? It's difficult, isn't it, when we see so many terrible things on the news, to think about hope, especially the hope for young people and how they're going to find jobs and buy homes and so on and so forth. And I came across a very interesting quote that says this: "I see no hope for the future of our people if they are dependent on the frivolous youth of today. for certainly all youth are reckless beyond words. When I was young, we were taught to be discreet and respectful of elders, but the present youth are exceedingly disrespectful and impatient of restraint, which is quite depressing. But interestingly, it was written in the 8th century BC. Not much changes, perhaps. And then I came across something else written by Jane Schilling. She wrote it in one of the Sunday papers. She said, "It is a curious view of the world that sees in groups of children and young people not a fund of pleasure and hope for the future, but a source of alarm and distress to local communities." Interesting. And recently, Charlie and I were on a training course. You can't believe that, I know, because he's only been here for 2 weeks. Already he's been on a training course. And as part of that training course, we were asked to shout out words that came into our head which we thought best described young men. I'm not going to ask you to shout them out, but just be thinking. On the day when we were asked that question, the things that we heard were words like smelly, rude, lazy, untidy, angry. And okay, sometimes they can be smelly. Bill in that room in Manchester, will he wash? I know that can happen, but in my experience of working in schools with young men and young women, I also see young men who are gentle and kind and loving and funny and misunderstood and judged and judged and judged again and influenced. And I think that some of what we might read in the media might not be true. And as Christians, we can challenge those preconceptions, can't we? We can speak up for young men and young women. We can speak to young men and young women of the hope that they have in Jesus. And when we as a team are in schools, we do actually meet young men and women who want a better, fairer world, who want to improve society and have a really positive input. So I'd like to ask you to spread that around. Young people actually are amazing. If you're a young person, I'm not bigging you up too much, don't get carried away. And some of you might know as well that I volunteer here as part of the youth team at St Mary's. And we've been taking a group of young people to Soul Survivor for many years, and I've been going along for many years. And if you don't know what it is, it's basically 5 days of mud, chips, chairs where they shouldn't be, cake, thumping worship music, and the worst bit of all, of course, is a damp sleeping bag and the horror that is camping, in my opinion. And most years, I am worse than any of the teenagers, and I make a right fuss about the whole camping thing. And every morning when I wake up, I have a little mantra where I go, it's only 4 more nights, it's only 4 more nights, it's only 3 more nights, it's only 2 more nights. And why do I go? Why do I go? I have asked myself many times. But the answer is that I go because year after year, without fail, I see young people at different stages on an amazing journey of faith and hope. And I see them experience the love of God. I see them supporting one another, praying for one another, growing together in their understanding of who Jesus is and their identity in him as an adopted son or daughter of God. And I love it. And you'll be taking me there, Matt Harris, in my box. But that might not be very nice. And this year, Matt and I have talked about, coming back to that thing about young men, it's obviously a particular thing for me at the moment. We talked about a couple of guys in our youth group, big strapping guys, who prayed together and then hugged each other. And it was just gorgeous. They may well have been a bit smelly, but it was gorgeous. So my hope is that in unity, all of us across our denominations and everything else will work together with more and more and more and more young people. But I also want to say that it can't just be what you think is the Sparkfish team. It isn't actually just me and Charlie and Claudia and people who do our administration and youth workers who join with us. Actually, we as a community, I want us as a community to own Sparkfish. I want us to be a community of Christians who together long to inspire young people in faith, hope, and love. And there is room for you to be involved. And so what about love? How do we show young people around us that we love them? I've already said that it's not always appropriate to talk about faith in schools, and that is true. If we're running a Christian union, then that's appropriate. If we're teaching a lesson, then it might not be. But nevertheless, those children and staff know that somebody with a Sparkfish hoodie or T-shirt or lanyard on is a Christian. And so they know that what comes out of our mouth comes from a different perspective, and that is amazing, and it has a big impact. So imagine the student whose home life is really chaotic. Perhaps they're struggling with thoughts of self-harm, perhaps they suffer from anxiety, perhaps they're being bullied. Imagine if you could, at any point in the school day, tell that student how much Jesus loved them. I wonder what you imagine their reaction might be. I think that they would find that really, really hard to believe when they're in that situation. But if we listen to their story about how hard it is at home, if we walk with them when they're self-doubting and possibly being a danger to themselves, if we go with them to their lesson, as Charlie has been doing, if we sit beside them, if we hang out with them at lunchtime, if you talk to them sitting in the graveyard as you walk through with your shopping, then they experience the love of Jesus. And then I think they get it. So I want us to pray tonight, together, collectively, for young people of this area and for the young people that you know privately. I'd like us to pray for refugees and particularly for refugee children. And I hope that you'll join me in doing that. So I'm going to explain how this is going to work. I hope it's going to work. And then Ali and the band are going to come and just play some worship music while we do this together. So you should have a strip of paper on your chair. It's actually a paper chain. So what I'd like you to do in a minute is to write your prayer on the paper chain. And then if you could, there is a little on the white side, one end of the white side is shiny. That's the bit you have to lick and stick. So after you've written your prayer, I'd love it if you would just join your prayer to the person sitting next to you until your row is a whole chain of prayers. And then if somebody at the end of the row would bring your line of paper chains up, we're just going to lie them here on the steps. If your paper chain doesn't stick very well, which might happen, then there are some people around with little staplers to help you. So if Ali and the band don't mind coming in and just playing some music for us, I'd love us to do this as an act of prayer together as a community of Christians who would like to inspire young people in faith, hope, and love.